Good morning, everyone. This is Good Medicine is Cheaper Medicine. I'm Shelley Wrench, along with Dr. Gabriel of the Gabriel Cancer Center. And I just want to remind our listeners that all of our episodes are archived to our website at GabrielCancerCenter.com, so they can go back and enjoy all of our lovely episodes from time to time.
Sometimes repeat.
Exactly.
Because sometimes we discuss complex things and...
Well, there's something in that's burning in my mind that I want to understand a little bit more about. I do know a little bit about drug approval, but I want to know why are drugs in the U.S. so much more expensive than in countries like Europe and Canada?
Well, we can talk about this for 1 hour to give a long answer. There is a short answer, though. The short answer is because America has more money than any other country in the world. So it's one of those redistribution of wealth. Drug companies, actually, when they get a drug approved, in the U.S., the drug companies decide on the price of the drug. And there is no formula. There is no guide. There is no mathematical equation except the equation that you try as a drug company to match your price with your potential competition, maybe go up 1 cent higher, 1 cent lower.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Right. The guide also, another guide is, it's not all mischievous process. I think we have talked about this before. Yes, drugs are expensive, but you know what? Get me an alternative to developing the expensive drugs. So what I was going to say there are things that are entered into the equation in the United States. Everything we're saying now is in the almighty USA. If you get a drug that's approved for a very rare disease like Gaucher disease or like Duchenne muscular dystrophy, where there is only 200-300 patients, who would be crazy and business unsavvy and low intelligence person who would develop a drug for such a rare disease unless you really are philanthropic, which is good. Not many people do that because, as we said in many episodes before, it costs more than $2 billion to develop a drug. Investors do not want to invest in developing a drug unless there is a potential for profit.
Right, which, you know, I remember a couple of, you know, rare diseases that there's been medications developed for over the past, like, 10 years or so. And I wonder, do they, the manufacturers for the, or the, I should say the pharma companies who's doing the clinical trials, do they get more seed money for maybe doing such?
From the government?
For doing a clinical trial for such a rare disease?
No. No, they don't.
So
no,
the investors really have to be philanthropic.
The only advantage that they might get is if the preliminary studies done on animals or even the first humans tested, if those preliminary studies show remarkable results, then the FDA will give the fast track process so that they stack them on the top of the pile of approvals rather than on the bottom. Also, there is also the orphan status where if you're developing a drug for a very rare disease, then you get the orphan status where, again, you get more accelerated process. I don't think the NIH or the NCI give money because all that money goes to the government-funded research. So back to the topic, when you invest so much money, give you an example, there's a disease called PNH, paroxysmal nocturnal hemoglobinuria. I think we mentioned this on another program. That disease, I have been practicing medicine and actually hematology since I graduated from medical school in 1976. I have seen only 3 cases.
And yet there's a new drug approved for it.
And there's a new drug approved for it. And there's a total.
Well, it's back in 2008.
Right. I mean, the average oncologist will see 1 case every 10 years. So you develop a drug like this, and if you charge $10,000, you will not be able to recoup your cost for the coming 50 years.
Right.
or 100 years. So what do you do? Well, if you cannot charge generously, the same equation. Investors will not be interested in such a ridiculous idea of investing in develop a drug that can cost $1, $2, or $3 billion, billion with a B, unless you have the price control, unless you have the price that you think it will make it worthwhile.
So now, which comes to my next question, comparing, let's talk about Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what process is different? And usually don't they do drug development? It gets approved, a drug will be approved quicker in Europe than it does in the U.S.
Yeah, that's this. Oh, people talk about this. It varies. People think that Europeans are more generous in approving drugs. Sometimes they are, but there is one little tiny little difference. When the FDA, the U.S. FDA, when they approve a drug, it is mandatory, it's mandated that Medicare covers that drug at the price named by the drug company.
Without looking at outcomes, which...
Well, the FDA, look, yeah, there is the FDA, they, because they are a scientific entity, they don't want to be part of the negotiation for the price as the Europeans do.
Right.
So, payers, means insurance companies in the U.S., they really cannot deny paying for a drug approved by the FDA unless they have compelling reason for them to believe that an equivalent drug is just as good. In Europe, EMA, which is the...
European Medicine Agency?
European Medicine Agency, a funny name. EMA, this is the European FDA. So since the Europeans, they have their EU, right?
Right.
They had to kind of conglomerate things to make it more efficient. Actually, it made it a little bit more complex and less efficient as usual. EMA, when they approve a drug, that approval process doesn't carry with it any obligation for any healthcare agency in Europe to pay for the drug. Now, the magic word I use is healthcare agency. The U.S., we are a free market, and we have insurance companies. There, most of the European countries, the vast majority of healthcare is delivered through the government-owned healthcare system.
Wow.
Now you will see, because I know people always say, "Wow, let's go and adopt the Canadian system. Oh, let's see what the Europeans are doing." So here's the deal. I'll give you an example. Denmark. The Danish government... When a drug is approved by EMA, E-M-A, the Danish government, the drug company that manufactured or that developed the drug will go to the health ministry of Denmark and say to them, "Guys, we want this drug to be used and you'll pay for it." And they look at them and say, "Nah, not interested." Why? Because you're charging too much. The Danish government and many other European countries, they came up with a formula. And the formula is that the value of any drug should be based on how many years or months or weeks a patient lives. And they say that if you do clinical trial, and if that clinical trial on a drug shows that your experimental drug will expand the average lifespan of patients by 1 year, we think, they say, that drug is worth 23,000 euros a year.
So it's only lifespan only, not really necessarily outcomes, because even if you expand life for 1 year, it could be a miserable life. So they're not even getting to that detail.
Can I be political in this? If you think about this, you are trading human life, right? When you say, if To you and me, for instance, my son's wife is pregnant.
Right.
And if God strike me with something now that I cannot live another 3 months and she'll be due in 4 months, how valuable would it be for me that I take a drug so that I see my first grandchild?
Exactly.
So for the government to decide the value of days or months or years, to me is ridiculous. But you know what? We have to always stand and worship God, of course, but also Washington and Hamilton and Madison and John Jay and all those founding fathers who really gave us a Bible called the Constitution. That is so awesome because it protects us from such tyrannical behavior of governments. So the Danish government tells us, say, the drug company, okay, if it doesn't prolong life, if it prolongs life by 6 months, we think it's worth $11,000 or euros a year. You know, Shelley, and we are in this business. The average new drug approved by the FDA in the U.S., the cost is about $11,000 to $12,000
a month. Right. On a good day.
The good thing about this is these European governments, they are also elected because they have kind of democracy, right? And they're humans. And many of them are real good, good human beings, although they're mostly politicians, which puts them more in the class of subhumans than humans, right? Because they're politicians. Yeah. Sure. So they're humans and they have positions to keep. And so when you go to them, you say to them, I had this drug that actually makes people live longer, whatever. They would push back, but there is a limit to how much they can push back. Right? So there's always the balance. Unfortunately for the Europeans, that balance is not very good because there is always limitation and restriction. There are many drugs like Avastin. Many European countries, they still don't cover Avastin. How long we have had Avastin?
Not even just cover it, but they won't even allow it in their country.
Right.
So if there's a person in Denmark that needs Avastin and Denmark does not have Avastin, how likely is it that they can go to a different country that does approve of Avastin? I'm sure it's not covered by insurance there. Well, they have the whole socialism, insurance, whatever that is.
Socialism, government insurance.
Whatever it is. But
they're basically universal.
So they would be they would have to pay out of their pocket, but they would be able to go to a different country to get it and be infused.
They have to, because there is restrictions on importing drugs, especially in such systems. You just cannot, you cannot buy Avastin under my name and package it and send it to another country. There are rules about that.
Oh, yeah.
So who will end up actually getting, having access to new drugs that are not available are the wealthy. It's always ironic that the socialists and the government lovers, any policy they come up with, it actually benefits the rich and hurts the poor. Isn't that amazing?
That's not right.
It's not right. It's a criminal. But they always say that there is limit to how much money they have. Of course, when everybody retires at the age of 50, and when welfare is so generous, how can they have money to spend on marvelous drugs? Again, worship the U.S. Constitution. It's a good book to worship, really.
Yeah. You know, and just a quick little preparation for this talk, I just wanted to look and see if there was any data out there that I wanted to kind of run past you. And they were talking about if it's good for the Europeans, why is it not good for the U.S., right? Having a reciprocal agreement on things that might have been approved already in Europe, right? And they're saying, the researchers found that actually, if they have that reciprocal and whatever's good for Europe is good for the U.S., they calculated that in 2012, if they had that reciprocal agreement, there would be $672 million lost in application fees for that drug. If it was approved for U.S. based on what was approved in Europe, and that they would lose $672 million in application fees. And think about that. It even translates into the pharmaceutical company generating more money, getting more income, more patients have to go on clinical trials doing the same thing that's already been done in Europe.
Charlie, this is a very good point you're raising. If it's good for Europe, why isn't it good for the U.S.? I have a simple answer. A doctor who graduated from King College, England, or somebody like me who trained at the University of Edinburgh, right? According to what we know about medicine, I should have been able to straight come to Ellis Island and start practicing medicine. Doesn't work that way. The U.S. medical system requires that anybody who graduates from a non-American medical school need to go through a process. A process that's more complex than even the immigration.
A process that there's application fees?
So What I'm saying is, when you look at drug approval, there are expert physicians who are involved in the process. Actually, I'm one of them. They consult to the FDA, right? Those people that have all the experts. Are we saying that we should listen to the experts of Europe, that they will decide whether the drug is good for us or not? At the same time, we don't allow that expert to practice medicine in the U.S. unless he redo or she redo everything from scratch.
Right. And
so that's dead on arrival.
Yeah. And they were even saying, though, that the regulations for drug approval in Europe is way more lax than here in the U.S. So it actually costs less to get drugs approved over there. So they're worried about, like, the big drain. Like, they're going to go to the cheapest place to get their drug developed and approved. So, I mean,
would that be
a race to the bottom of, like, are we going to go to a country that's going to have the cheapest way to get a drug approved, and it might not be the best? We might have another Vioxx debacle, right?
Yes, and that's one big risk. The other big risk is, if indeed the Europeans can develop drugs quicker, meaning they are more lax and less rules and regulations, that's good for them. Either we have to catch up with that, or we will run the risk that drug companies will say, you know what, I'll just go and develop it in Europe or in India, wherever. By the way, something happened in the last 10, 15 years. It used to be, when we do clinical trials on experimental drugs, and those clinical trials were mostly done in the U.S. by U.S. licensed physicians and U.S. patients. Then the last 15 years, drug companies were allowed that they do some of the clinical trials abroad, including in the places like, I'm sure that President Trump has some special name for those places. Places like Moldova or Romania or India. In fact, the Kurdish authority in the north, as you know, they're asking me to help them build a cancer center there and do clinical trials there. Mm-hmm. The FDA accepts those, and sometimes they put restrictions like at least 10% of the patients enrolled in a pivotal clinical trial, that those patients have to be enrolled from the United States. The fact is, the FDA has become more loose, and we have to be very careful. The evidence to the danger of this is, when you look at the number of startup biotech companies that develop drugs in the world, 15 years ago, 72% were 77 or 72% were in the U.S. Now it's down to 61.
Wow.
So we are losing market share. Part of it is because of whatever, the investors and the NAFTA and the, and you know, when the president always talks about that every single country in the world is ripping us off. Actually, it is happening. Ironically, those people develop drugs and they come back and sell them to us, right? At a hefty price. And that's exactly takes me to what the president kept talking about, price control. I don't think President Trump understands in details how tricky this subject is and how important it is that we make sure that the U.S. continues to be at the tip of the bayonet in the drug development.
I think, too, that in the countries in Europe, I don't think that they have as much regulations to punish people as much as we do. If there's a shoddy drug, I think they get a slap on the hand in Europe. I don't think that they have as many regulations as to punish the people of Vioxx and those types of.
Well, we have our own system, and I can give you one example to prove exactly your point. Under Eric Holder, the Department of Justice, the DOJ, during Obama's administration, I have read and heard more than once that the Department of Justice in those days had figured out in their budget that every year they need to cash $11 billion penalties from drug companies. Imagine they need to. It's almost a reminder like the end of the month when the cops are all over the highways because they meet the quota. Yeah, this is the government, and that's why we have libertarians who always say to the government, back off, back off, back off, like myself, because it's painful to me when I see the cops on the highway on the 27th of the month chasing a single mother who makes $10 an hour and slap her with a fine that is $100. It just is heartless.
While she's driving to work.
While she's driving to work.
Yeah.
I know you shouldn't break the rules and so on, but the damn new cars we have now, they are so, you don't have to push the pedal and they go fast. What can you do?
Yeah, we have a little concern about that. Tell me about Canada. So what, in Canada, everybody thinks that, you know, you drive across the border to Canada to get cheaper drugs. Is it the same process and the same thing exactly as the European countries, or is it different?
A little bit different. A little bit different. They are more. They have their own agency that approves drugs. But generally speaking, the drugs approved are available in Canada. Somehow, the Canadian government is the Canadian healthcare system is different from ours because it is all single payer. So the government there kind of put pressure or negotiate prices with the drug companies. And I think President Trump is hinting to this, that maybe Medicare and Medicaid should negotiate prices. I think negotiation is always good, right? As long as as long as it's bilateral. But price fixing is what I worry about. If there is a danger of price fixing. Now, the Canadians, the delta, the difference in the price between Canadian market and American market is really small, but that small can be big. As you know, there have been some physicians, oncologists, who spent some time in jail because they imported the drugs from Canada.
Right.
And by the way, those drugs were not made in Canada. They were made in the U.S., shipped to Canada, which makes them legit drugs, right?
I guess.
They're legit drugs. But because the guys, those physicians, seven of them were in Cleveland. These physicians, because they bypassed the import-export process, they were found guilty, and some of them paid heavy fines.
Yeah. And don't you think, I think it had a lot to do with the pedigree as well, because you say that they were manufactured here in the U.S., but you wonder about those manufacturing plants, because over the years there have been some drugs that
were fake
drugs, you know, copycat.
I think that's one of the concerns that the regulators have, and that is I think President Trump has even talked about allow people to get drugs from other countries. I think we have to be, again, very careful because of what you mentioned, Shelley, the pedigree thing.
I think it gets lost when it goes across borders.
Right. If I buy a drug from supplier in the U.S., and if I find later on that supplier was crooked, he's accountable to me because I will use both my First and Second Amendments, and he'll be accountable to the U.S. government. What will happen if you have a supplier in Winnipeg, Canada, or a little island in the Caribbean, right?
Right.
Well, you say the DA agents after the guy has. If that guy is filling bottles with garbage stuff and selling them at hefty prices. So we have to be careful. This is one area where I think the government has to be very careful that you cannot bend those rules a bit. And I'm sure that the president and his advisors are listening to some experts who tell them, don't go there by opening the market. Oh, you can buy it right from anywhere you want. There is a reason why we have some strict rules sometimes.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times it's that whole concept of the grass is always greener on the other side. You get Canadians that come to the U.S. to get their drugs, and you have U.S. saying, oh, I got it from Canada, it's cheaper, and same thing between us and Europe.
Exactly, Shelley. All I can tell you is I haven't seen a long line waiting at the border of Mexico to immigrate to Mexico.
I didn't mention Mexico.
I haven't seen a long line of people trying to immigrate to Europe, except for those who come with refugees and so on. I see everybody in the world wants to come to the U.S. I'll just stop there. What does that tell you? Why is it that everybody's dream, not everybody, I don't know there are many Americans who have a dream of living somewhere else. You know why they don't dream? Because they can. You want to live in Cuba? All it takes really is a little boat from Key West, 90 miles straight shot. Do you want to live in Mexico?
Or jet ski.
Well, we have a house in Mexico, right? Or jet ski. Right. So, anyway, it's kind of an interesting thing. Anything else about this process?
Yeah, there's one other thing I want to bring up that in my little investigation, talking about reciprocity, and they said that maybe if that would happen.
Well, define what's the reciprocity between.
So if there was something approved in Europe that we could use it in the U.S.
And
without going through the whole thing.
I'm against it, but what do they say? Why do we shouldn't
do that? But if it goes back and forth both ways, that they were contemplating that maybe the drug maker should just put on in the package insert that this was based on studies done either wherever it was approved. It was approved in the U.S. and that be put on the label, so it's up to the physician and or the patient to make up their mind whether they want to use that drug based on where it was approved. What do you think about that?
Shelley, I'm libertarian. I believe in the free market, but you have to be careful about how much freedom you give to the market. The U.S. is a leader in everything, right? Why would we go to the others who are not as good as we are and tell them, hey, guys, let's be equal? Why would I trust a drug company in Moldova that they develop a drug and I'll tell them, I trust you? Do you know how much cheating you can do when you develop a drug? Unless there is watchful eyes from all sides, drug development can be very, very tricky. And in fact, despite all the watching, the Vioxx debacle, the 50% of the drugs that still get black label warning 5 years after they are approved, why would I trust anybody? Would you trust drug development in Greece when you know their unemployment rate is 23%? You might say, what does it have to do with the price of chicken in China? No. When you have poverty, that's a recipe for corruption, especially when you deal with items that are so expensive, meaning drugs.
And important.
Very important too. So now, I'd rather we keep that edge, because I think we still are the best in drug development. I wish we will outsource less to Europe or to India or China. That's my hope.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thanks. It's been a wonderful discussion. And as I said, you can find this episode along with all of our prior episodes on GabrielCancerCenter.com.
Thank you, Charlotte.